Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Internet Insanity, where we go down the rabbit hole of baby teeth and pregnancy newsletters. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hey, everyone. Welcome to episode 126. Laura, hello, hello.
Hi.
How are you? Would you want to give us your check-in? What's going on with your pregnancy and your toddler this week? And you. I mean, we do want to hear about you, too.
Well, I mean, I feel like at this point, my pregnancy and me are one and the same.
Oh, yes. True, true.
So let's start with my toddler. He is 21 months and 3 weeks. And so this week, the fun event was that It was Corey's birthday.
Oh, cool.
And so the big plan was for Corey's mom to come visit. And She had this great idea to have her and my toddler bake a cake together.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, or rather decorate a cake. So I pre-baked the cake because, you know, no toddler is sitting around for an hour waiting for that cake to be done.
Yeah.
And then cool. And I got, like, I basically set it all up. I got the frosting and food coloring and stuff so we could make different colors frosting. And she came over and they, you know, he stood in his little learning tower and she asked him, like, what color do you want? He'd go, blue. And so she'd make the blue. And then, what color next? And he said, yellow. And, you know, he did yellow. And it was actually, I was skeptical and so was she. She was like, this might be a little advanced for 21 months. I don't know. But he actually really liked it. And it was really fun and just super adorable.
That is so cute. How did the cake turn out? Was it just like adorably homemade toddler style?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was like lots of random squiggles and, you know, and then there were sprinkles on top. I have pictures. It's very cute.
That's so cute.
And then my mother-in-law got little like happy birthday candles. It spelled out happy birthday. And he's starting to really like get his letters, too. That's one of the big developments around here is he's starting to like identify letters really well. So it was actually really good practice to be like, what's this? And be like, H.
And like, oh, awesome.
You know, and so we got to do the whole happy birthday. And then we're like, what does that spell? And, you know, obviously he's not reading it, but he knew it was happy birthday. And he'd go, happy birthday, happy birthday. So it was really, really sweet and very fun.
Cute.
It's just sort of a sweet time. I feel like it's kind of a sweet age right now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, his language is really exploding right now. It's been very fun. And I feel like it's a little precocious or a lot precocious because my understanding is that like at 2, they should have anywhere between like 50 and 200 words or something. Mm-hmm. And like 2 words but being put together, like just starting to put 2 words together. Mm-hmm. And he's like rocketing past that, which is very fun to watch. But also I know like they all catch up with each other, you know, eventually. But the benefit of it is that you really get to like tap into their brain. So one of the things he's been doing lately, his newest favorite phrase is anytime he's going anywhere with daddy, he goes, mama come too.
Aw, that's too? So cute.
Which is like the most heartbreaking and adorable thing you could hear. Because I'm just like,
yes.
No, mama's not coming too. Mama's going to stay home and clean the damn house while you guys are at the park.
Oh, it's just like so ironic that the thing he is saying right now is forcing you to say no to your little cutie. That's so hard.
Sometimes it's okay. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, he'll be like, mama come too. And I'll be like, yes, I am coming too. And he just gets a big smile on his face. Aww. But his other thing is like, he'll stand at the other side of the baby gate while I'm trying to cook dinner in the kitchen. And he'll go, mama, come in. Mama, come in. And I'm like, dude, I can see you right now. Like, chill out.
No. They want to play. They want to play with their mommies and daddies.
I know. But I am like really impressed with his language. And I know it's like not necessarily typical. But one thing that's really cool about it is like I feel like it's really reducing the number of tantrums we're having.
Oh, he's able to communicate more.
Because he can really point out like specifically what he wants and he can actually like express you know, in like a mini proto sentence what he wants, you know, like.
Like what, for example? What's this kid wanting these days?
Okay, so for example, when we're sitting on the potty, well, we have our little potty in the living room because that's just where we always are. And it's right next to this bookcase full of all of his books. Mm-hmm. And he'll sit down and he'll be like, book, book. And he'll be like, okay, what book do you want? And like before, you know, a couple weeks ago when we started potty training, it wasn't this clear. He'd be like, book, book. You know, that's mm-hmm. it, right? You know, and you can tell yeah. he was like freaking out. Now he'll be like, Roaring Rockets, or mm-hmm. like, you know, he'll mm-hmm. just, he'll say like, Peanut Book. And I'll be like, at first, you'll be like, what's Peanut Book? And then I remember I have this little scientist book that has George Washington Carver on the front, and he's holding a peanut, because he's like, you know, did all these experiments with peanuts. And so he'll be like, Peanut Book. Uh-huh. And that sort of thing just really, it just clears things up. Like, you can see he's on the verge of having a meltdown because he's not getting, you know, his point across. And then you'll uh-huh. just be like, oh, you want the little scientist book? And he'll go, yes. And then it's, oh. it kills it. You know, it's just like back to baseline.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I'm really impressed with his language skills. And, you know, I recognize I've actually kind of hesitated to talk about it, to be honest, because mm-hmm. I know that as a mom of kids, you know, especially young kids, babies and toddlers and stuff, we all get so hung up on these milestones, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before on the show and how it can be really tough when you hear about other kids that are the same age or whatever, and they're doing more than your kid. And I don't want it to seem like, you know, I don't know if it's not even bragging. It's not like I did anything. He's just mm-hmm. precocious. He's ahead of his milestones, you know?
So you're just saying you don't want others to maybe start to worry or feel concerned about their own toddler's development based on where your guy is.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, we try not to compare. We all know comparison is the thief of joy. And yet we all do it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I saw a kid his age on like a three-wheeled scooter just going super fast the other day and so confident. And I was just like, what? You know, and then like, you know, first thing in my mind is like, how come he's not doing, you know, we just yes. go straight there. So I don't know. Are you the same way?
Oh, yes. And specifically about the language, I won't say it's hard to hear you talk about that, but it's definitely something that's on my mind because even though Cece has been coming along really well with expressing herself, like a lot of her words still aren't very enunciated well, you know, like she's mixing up letters. And I know that I can speak her language most of the time, but I know others can't. And she's putting mm-hmm. together a couple words, you know, like or one of her favorite things is, you know, boo. And I say eek. And now she's saying, don't look. And then she goes, boo. But specifically, one of our friends posted recently a video of their toddler who's about the same age as ours. And she was giving like a pretend vaccination to their cat, right?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure you saw this. It was uh-huh. really, really cute. And the mom said, oh, what are you doing? And the toddler turned to the camera and was like, I'm giving Chloe a shot. And I was just like, what is wrong with my kid? Like, how is that 22-month-old stringing together all of those words? I was just like, I had a hard time with that. I mean, I was glad that, you know, she was speaking those sentences, but I was a little bit concerned about where Cece is, although mm-hmm. she's definitely more advanced in the physical stuff, right? She climbs on swings and ladder swings and yeah. by herself and swings backwards, and she does ride scooters and bikes. And so it really just, you know, it does all even out in the end, and everyone's different. Elle was extremely verbal at this age, like your guy, so maybe that's one reason I'm sensitive to it, too. It's like comparing the kids.
Sure. Yeah. Because your first experience with having a kid was like this chatterbox, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. like you said, you know, my guy's not getting on those regular swings. He'll just mm-hmm. fall right off. He just fell right off the freaking ottoman the other day.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. So the point is, we can't compare our kids.
And our friend's baby is older than your baby by like a little over a month. So
by a month, yes.
but you but know still. How much changes, and like it's interesting too how the leaps sort of happen. There's I think mm-hmm. it's not, we all think it's this gradual thing, but I noticed like we were just, you know, just random words here and there, and then it was like, whoa, mm-hmm. now we've got like two word sentence, and then it's like, whoa, like we're getting more than that. We're getting like three words together already. Like what happened? And it wasn't gradual. It's like he went to sleep one night and then woke up the next morning with this new skill. You know?
Yeah. So, well, maybe that's what Cece's going through right now with all of this.
Yeah.
with all these sleep problems and, you know, whining and clinginess, it kind of is reminiscent of those Wonder Weeks leaps she went through when she was younger. So maybe she will emerge speaking speeches that are 400 words long. I mean, I don't know.
She's going to give you a treatise.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so what about your pregnancy? How's that going?
Yeah, so I had a bunch of stuff this week I need to check in on. The first is I did my glucose test, which don't get too excited because I'm still waiting on the results.
Oh, okay.
I did it on Friday, so I'm hoping that we'll get them soon. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. And so last time I did it at my doctor's office. And they gave me like the drink at my previous appointment, told me to put it in the fridge, make sure it was really cold, and then like drink it basically on the way in. And then, you know, I'd show up. They say like drink it an hour before you're going to show up and then we'll take your blood and that's it, right? Easy peasy. But this time they are outsourcing it to a lab, to Quest Diagnostics. Which turns out there's a Quest, an 8-minute walk from my house. So I ended up just walking there. And it was a little bit different. I got the orange drink this time.
Yeah, love that stuff.
You know, it really wasn't bad. Like, it just, like, I can never get it out of my mind. You said it tastes like melted Otter Pops, and that's, like, exactly what it tastes like.
Oh, it's so good. I'm such a child. I'm like, give it to me.
Yeah, I had no problem drinking it at all. But the difference was I couldn't, like, drink it on my own time. I had to go into the lab, and then I had to wait an hour. Mm-hmm. And I decided I'd walk over there because it's so close. I figured like trying to figure out the parking situation would take as long as just like walking around the corner. So I show up and, you know, we're still in COVID, so everyone's wearing a mask. Every time you go indoors during COVID, especially to like a medical facility, there's all these signs up. No, never take your mask off. Stay 6 feet apart. All this stuff, right? So I get there and the guy checking me in, I think it was 7:30 in the morning, so he probably really didn't want to be at work on a Friday, right? He hands me the drink and he's like, okay, you have to drink it in here. And I was like, can I step outside? And he's like, no, you have to drink it in front of me. And I was like, okay, but there's like a bunch of people in this waiting room and all the signs say you have to have your mask on. So what? And he was like, okay, you can come around the corner and drink it in the hallway. So I was like forced to like stand in this awkwardly in this hallway while he like watched me drink it. Like I was trying
so awkward
and I'm like trying to like I like pull my mask back, drink, put back on over and over, and I'm just like, wow, is like, are they they're treating me like I'm trying to cheat the system, like I thought that was really weird and interesting, like
especially the contrast of your doctor's office giving it to you like to drink in a car on the way, like that's what my doctor did too.
Yeah, I felt very, it felt very much like school, you know, like you got getting in trouble and they have to watch you. I'm sure it has something to do with liability or who knows.
Oh, yeah, they probably have strict protocols.
Yeah, so I had to like chug it in the hallway and then he was like, okay, you can go like sit in your car or whatever. So I like, I didn't have a car, so I went outside. I had brought my knitting, thankfully. And I actually, what I decided to do was like walk around the block a couple times while I was knitting, which is a fun skill I've picked up, which is actually very calming. And I have to say that it was like an hour and a half of quiet alone time that I really liked. I was really into it.
It's like the first time I went to the dentist after having a second child. And I was like, oh my God, this is an, I was like getting a cavity filled. And I'm just like, this is the dream. Yeah.
I know. It's so sad. I know. And on that note, I had a doctor's appointment earlier in the week. And I, every time I go to my freaking doctor's appointments now, I'm like, freedom. It feels like a freaking vacation.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So sad. Driving down there, windows open, hair blowing in the wind.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Okay.
So good.
So good. But the update from the doctor's appointment is baby's head is down.
Woohoo!
So,
wait, does that mean that's good, right?
Well, it depends on if I actually want to have a VMAC or not. So it's still early. I'm only, I should say I'm 25 weeks. So it's, you know, the baby can still be doing a lot of flipping. So it's not a be all end all. But I never once had a head down ultrasound in my first pregnancy.
Really?
Not once.
Okay.
Every single time he was breached. So it's different. Pregnancies are different. So that's what's going on. So I'm waiting on those glucose tests. Ooh, we'll see.
All right. Well, keep us updated.
I will. I will on this podcast keep you updated.
Good.
In the meantime, I want to hear what's going on with you this week.
Well, Cece is 22 months and 3 weeks. And the big news this week is that Nana and Pop Pop came to visit.
Nana and Pop Pop.
It was so fun and so long awaited. It's been like 8 months since I've seen my mom, and it was just great to have them in our house. Now, Cece was not so sure about these people.
Oh, no.
She does video with them, so she knows who they are, but seeing them in person, she hasn't seen Pop Pop in even longer, because my mom was the last one to come out, and she came out alone. So it's probably been almost a year since she's seen Pop Pop. And he's, you know, he's so great. He's so jolly. He has like white, longish white hair and, you know, glasses and a beard. And he's just a different looking person. And she hasn't been exposed to like anybody outside of our family in like 6 months. So I think it was interesting for her to see different people. And she was very shy. She was, she was really shy, especially with Pop Pop. Which I'm not going to lie, I kind of loved it because I got more hugs and like clingy little like mama, mama. And she would just cling to me. And I was like, you guys, you need to come more often because I'm getting so many snuggles.
That's exactly what your mom wanted to hear, right? She's like, where's my snuggles?
Oh, man. But Pop Pop's so great. He was like trying to be sweet and funny with her. And he would start to get her laughing and giggling. And then he would do, you know, whatever next like funny little face. And then she would go, and just cry so hard. She was like hyperventilating, like, you know, like take that breath in and cry without sound for like 30 seconds. And poor girl.
Oh, man. I get it. And it makes sense. Like, they're at the age that's kind of like separation anxiety is a thing, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long were they visiting for?
About 4 or 5 days. They were here for a good amount of time. She warmed up, definitely, especially to Nana, probably because she's just seen her more in video with her. But all in all, it was just really nice. It was nice to have my mom here and see new people. So it was good.
Well, that's so nice, though. No matter what, to see them is just, even if Cece had a little bit of trepidation, I'm sure it was really meaningful for all of you.
Yes, yes. And we got some nice photographs of all us girls with Nana. So that's very
good.
Cute. Yes. So the next thing I was going to talk about this week, and I don't want to jinx myself here, but my girls, this is before Nana and Pop Pop came into town, my girls have been getting along so well.
Oh my God, like, you jinxed it so bad.
I know, it's all downhill from here. But Cece's just becoming more engaged with, you know, playing and pretend, and she and Elle will stand at their little kitchen playset and like make food, and Elle just loves being like, okay, Cece, you sit here. And okay, let me bring you your plate. And then, here's a piece of pizza. And then, like, Cece pretends to eat pizza. And the best thing about it is that when they're playing independently like that, I really get time to myself.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's so awesome. The other day, they played so well for so long that I was able to go and bake. What did I bake? Rice, some, like, fancy Rice Krispie treats with like semi detailed fondant work on top, because that's how I roll. And it was so fun to just like be focused and, you know, do this stuff. And it was just really nice. And just in general, it's really sweet to see their relationship blossoming. And
yeah,
when Nana was here, she mentioned something about like, oh, I remember when there was just so much tension between them, and Elle didn't know how to touch her little sister when she was a baby, and she was so rough. And I was like, oh my God, I completely forgot about all of that. I put it out of my mind. It had been such a huge source of anxiety for me, trying to keep them calm around each other. So that's a long distant memory, apparently, and they're coming a long way. And I'm just like so, so warm hearted about it. I love it.
That sounds amazing. And the idea of like being able to do anything for more than 10 minutes in the kitchen is like mind blowing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I couldn't Amazing. Believe it. And this is, I'm saying, like, Steve was working, so it's not like there was another adult supervising them mm-hmm. or anything, because sometimes I can get stuff done under those circumstances. But yeah, they just played, and I got to overhear their little conversations. It's like, oh, Cece, do you want ice cream? They have, like, play ice cream.
Yeah.
Yes, you know? And so it's just really cute. And I just know that your two little guys are going to be there one day soon, too.
Yeah, one day. I feel like they are 1 year closer in age to each other. So I don't know if mm-hmm. that'll be better or worse. Like, if that'll make it happen faster or slower.
I don't know. Us. That's the great experiment of the Big Fat sure Positive is. Podcast. That's what this all see. Boils down to.
Yep, we will see. We
will see. Well, that's all for us this week. Overall, it's been a really wonderful week. Should we take a break and move on to our special segment?
Yeah, I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we are back. So this week's special segment is Internet Insanity, where we discuss all the wild and weird things we found on the internet that relate to pregnancy, parenting, or really anything, I think, at this point.
Yes, anything goes.
Anything goes. But I want to know what you have found on the World Wide Web this week.
Okay. This is something that was posted in one of my Facebook groups, and wow, did it send me down a rabbit hole online.
Okay.
But I want to intro this by asking you a question.
Sure.
You know, all of our little cute little babies are going to lose their teeth and get bigger teeth. And I wanted to know, like, have you thought about what you're going to do with those teeth when they're falling out?
I haven't really spent a lot of time thinking about it, since not all his teeth are even in yet. He still has his 2-year molars to go. It has crossed my mind, though, because when I was pregnant with my toddler, my now toddler, someone gave us a bunch of hand-me-downs, and in them was like this commemorative display case in the shape of a molar that you open up, and you can like put all your baby teeth as they fall out into them. And I was like, thanks.
Wait, hold up. That person's baby's teeth wasn't in this thing.
Thank God. No. And it was given with like the caveat, like, you don't have to keep this. Someone gave it to us. We clearly don't want it. Like, but maybe you do. And it was brand new in its wrapping. So I'm pretty sure I gave that to Goodwill at some point already.
Well, someone else will benefit from that, surely.
But I have a feeling you are going to tell me that you've thought more about this recently, and I want to hear.
Yeah. Well, first, let me say there has been a study, I don't know by whom, maybe by some dental associations, to find out what people do with their baby's teeth. And actually, 59% of the respondents say they preserve their baby's teeth, so they keep them.
Okay.
23% throw them out, and 18% use them in some other way.
What? Some other way.
I can't imagine like what that would be. I don't know, like throw them into the cauldron and make some kind of potion out of them. I really can't imagine. I think I'm probably going to fall into the category of getting rid of them. It feels kind of sad, but I'm also a person who has always been icked out by teeth, losing, the idea of kids losing teeth. So anyway, that's my stand on it.
I guess you give Elle and Cece an opinion on those, right? Like what they want to do with it?
Never thought of that. They do, those teeth do belong to those children. So I guess they could make up their own mind, and maybe I'll present this thing I'm going to talk about as an option
sure.
to them.
Okay.
We'll see.
Oh God, though, the teeth, I hated losing my teeth as a kid. Like,
yeah,
I would let them hang on till they were like hanging on by a thread, which is so gross in and of itself, because I just could not let my mom or my dad yank it out. Like they would beg me, and they came up with all these like ways. We'll do it with the door frame, which seemed awful. You know, like when you tie a string to the door. Oh God. They're like, just let me pull it. And I was like, no. Like it was so bad. And I still like just get the chills thinking about having loose teeth. Like that is, I saw a video of my niece who is 7 when she was losing her first tooth. She got like a Nerf gun and tied a string around the little like Nerf projectile and uh-huh. tied it around her tooth and shot it, and the tooth came out, and she was so, like, she did it herself, and she was so proud, and I was just like, this blows my mind, because I would never let anyone get close to them. It's almost close to a phobia for me, so.
I don't blame you, and they're gonna come out of your kid's mouth, like, wiggling around in that juicy, bloody gum. I'm sorry, that's too much. Sorry, you guys. I lost one of my first teeth by, I was helping my dad, like, do some work outside, and there was a roll of duct tape, and I was like, you know how, like, especially back then, it wasn't perforated, so you just, like, I always saw my parents, like, put it on their tooth and, like,
oh, yeah.
get the rip going. I did uh-huh. that, and the bottom tooth just goes right
This episode needs to come with a trigger warning.
It truly does. I'm so, so sorry for our listeners, because this stuff bothers me too, but it feels good to express it. It really does.
And yeah, it's good to steel ourselves, to gird our loins, because it is coming in a few years. I mean, more years yes. for me than you, but... Okay, so you have something specific to talk about, though, so I need to hear why we're even talking about this right now.
I know, I'm sorry, why am I even torturing everyone? So, if you really want to do something with your baby's teeth that's not getting rid of them, mm-hmm. you could do this. Someone in my Facebook group posted a photo, link to an article or whatever, of jewelry made from human teeth. And this article was, like, made from your deceased loved one's okay. teeth. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that is weird. And then I was like, oh, my God, I bet anything people out there make jewelry from their kids' baby teeth.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Laura, there are a lot of people who do this. And I wanted to share some of these ideas with you.
Okay. I'm kind of scared. Okay. Go on. Go ahead.
Well, look, we already talked about the icky part. Yeah. Well, maybe there is more to come.
I guess part of the discomfort is, like, generally you think, like, I think of teeth as bones, and as bones as being, like, a thing that deals with, like, after death, right? So, like, I don't know. It brings up all kinds of weird connotations for me. But baby teeth, they do just fall out.
Yeah. Yeah, they yeah. do. And a lot of people find them very precious, and they help them remember when their child was young, etc.
Yeah, I can see that a little bit, because, like, I am very attached to his cute little teeth right now. My little boy, you know, they're just like these little itty bitty adorable things. And when he smiles, I get to see them, and I don't know. So I can kind of come around to the sentimentality about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So one option is you can send it in. There are a variety of, like, Etsy stores and stuff. Send the tooth to them, and then they'll cast it in bronze.
Okay.
And put it, like, on a necklace and send it back. And the ones I'm seeing are, like, molars, so they're bigger teeth, right? Mm-hmm. You can see, like, the indentation of the top and everything like that. And then there are some that go just really all out to almost look like very beautiful, fancy jewelry, and they file the tooth down to make it look, you know what it looks like to me? Like a very fancy mini Altoid. Like, it's a tiny square, but imagine, like, a very...
You're going to have to send me these links, because I need to see this.
Okay. Hold on. Okay, so I just sent you this link. Specifically, the one I'm looking at is called Tooth Fairy Designs.
Okay.
And this is one of the companies that makes very fine jewelry. Like, the designs are pretty cool. They have, like, pendants that are sterling silver and kind of nice little shapes and designs. And then they put this, like, mini Altoid, like, you know, shiny shaved down baby tooth in the middle. So if you didn't know it was a baby tooth, you'd kind of think it's just like a cool, pretty, I don't know.
Like a gem of some sort. Yeah. These are nice. I mean, I don't want to judge people who decide, you know, who decide to do this, because this isn't like walking around with, like, a half rotten baby tooth in your around your neck. It just is like a opal or something.
Yeah, or it's pearl. Really nice.
Yeah. Okay.
But I will say, there on this site is a video of, like, how they process the tooth, and oh my God, it is, like, complicated. It looks, like, scientific with all of this complicated equipment, and they like have this big like laser that does something to it, and like this big disc that like shaves it down. They show the person shaving it down and like making it into this perfect little thing. And it just, this is just something I had no idea existed in the world. And I'm just kind of, my mind's kind of blown.
Well, did we ever talk about breast milk jewelry?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I don't know if we have, but I'm familiar with it. And I know this is along a similar line.
Yeah. I mean, I a friend of mine had their breast milk. Basically, like you send in, if you have like extra frozen breast milk, you send it in, they process it in some way and set it in resin. And it kind of just looks like an opal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's just a lot of interesting things in the world. I have to say that while you were sending me that link, I did a quick Google just for baby teeth jewelry, just to see what comes up. And mm-hmm. the first results are not elegant and gorgeous like that. But also, the third thing that comes up on my Google search, so there's like a real human tooth ring, a genuine human molar ring, okay? And mm-hmm. then for sale, a bag of 100 loose teeth. On Etsy.
What?
And I'm not sure.
I think people do make crafty things out of them, maybe in like a just an ironic way. Or they, because I have seen in my searches here, I have seen other.
Okay, these are fake. These are fake.
Things. Oh, okay,
I just
okay.
discovered. I clicked through.
That makes me feel better. I was really glad about that.
Really glad. Oh, I actually don't think you can sell human like body parts, even if they're teeth.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm glad you didn't come across this other video that I discovered. It's of a mom like showing how she processes her baby's teeth or baby teeth in general at home to make mm-hmm. jewelry. And she's got like a cookie tray on her counter and she's got all these teeth. And she's like, first thing what you got to do is like scrub them down a little bit and then like squeeze lemon on them. And she's like shaking all these teeth around in the cookie sheet. And she's like, you got to put them in the oven at 400 degrees for about 5 to 10 minutes because you don't want to burn the teeth. And she puts together this necklace and I was like, holy shit. And then, I mean, I finally realized it was parody. Not all that far into it, but I was just like, what is going on?
Well, but you're primed, like, already.
Yes!
You know that this is a real thing that people mm-hmm. do, so why would this be fake? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, once I saw how hideous her art was, like, she was just, like, had a hot glue gun and was just, like, like, gluing all these teeth onto this necklace. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think this is real. But anyway, wow. So it was a fun deep dive. And I'm sure everyone is so happy that I shared it with them.
God, just our lives are richer because of it. I don't know. There might be a lot of people listening who want to do it. Like, I could actually see getting behind one of these little polished, like,
they're pretty.
More understated ones. Yes, they are actually really pretty.
I'm considering at this point.
Are you?
Maybe. I had no idea it could be so beautiful.
Well, you got to talk to Elle and get her permission because they are hers.
This is true. Yes. Yeah. Anywho, and look, if baby teeth aren't doing it for you, I'm sure there are other keepsake things you can do with your baby's hair, you know, whatever. So just know that there's a whole world out there of ways to hold on to the memory of your children.
Well, I'd be curious to hear how our listeners plan on dealing with this or if they have done anything, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
My opinion might completely change in the next, like, 4 to 5 years, you know, where I'm like, well, mm-hmm. like, no, I worked so hard to produce this baby who produced these teeth who then just dropped them like they're nothing. Must keep them.
Yeah, exactly. And did you know that baby teeth are called milk teeth? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, I think that's like an old fashioned term for it, right? Like,
yeah.
The milk teeth are coming in. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that's something else I learned today. Anyway, okay, let's move on. Laura, what do you have for us today?
Okay, so my internet insanity is based off of emails I get every day. Mm-hmm. So you may recall that if you sign up for the What to Expect message boards
mm-hmm.
and you put in your due date, they automatically start sending you updates on your pregnancy every single day.
What do they even have to say every single day to differentiate these emails?
Well, this is the problem, right? There's a lot. So like literally, I just did a search in my email and it's every day. So like mm-hmm. the most recent one is your pregnancy, week 25, day 6. then it's week 25, day 5, week 25, day 4, right? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's basically just pointing back to articles on what to expect. And every once in a while, there's cool stuff about, like, with the size of your baby, or every week mm-hmm. there's a new video with that Heidi Murkoff lady who, like...
Oh, yes. God, I remember her.
Oh, man. She drives me crazy. But...
Yeah, I know.
I still watch them. Today, mm-hmm. your baby is the size of a plum. And
that's a good impression.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've been working hard on it.
It's triggering my nausea, though, because I watched so many of her videos in the first trimester. It's like an association.
Yeah. I bet a lot of people just feel sick when they see her.
That's so sad.
Poor Heidi. Okay. Here's my internet insanity about it, though. I mean, I do think that a daily newsletter is like a little too much to begin with. Mm-hmm. But that's not the insane part. The insane part is that basically every single day in this freaking newsletter, there is an article about sex during pregnancy.
Every day?
Every single one. Okay, so here's the most recent one. The best sex positions when you're pregnant. Okay. Mm-hmm. And like a few days before that, are cramps after sex normal during pregnancy? Mm-hmm. Oh, and then like week 24, day 6, the first thing, all your questions about sex during pregnancy answered. And it's like, it just literally, it's like maybe not every day, but almost every day, there's some like sex related content in it, which on one hand, I'm like, cool, it's good to have this information. But on the other hand, it's like, all right, what to expect? Like, I get it, you know, like, and of course, it's always like encouraging you, like, it's if you don't have any complications, it's perfectly fine to have sex like all the time and this and that. And I'm just like, dude.
Oh, so it's never like you don't feel like touching your husband during sex. That's cool. Read this article. Why?
No. Yeah. There is yet to be an article that's like, just feel like sitting and watching The Crown on Netflix. That's perfectly okay, too. Or like want to have sex, but you can't because you're in so much pain and you're so exhausted. That's okay, too. Like, it's all like, here's the best positions and here's how to get it done. It's just like, leave it alone, Heidi.
Well, Heidi wants you to get down.
Like, this is between me and my husband, you know? Okay.
Well, look, sex sells. I bet those links get the most clicks out of everything. Like, people are like, ugh, I don't care if my baby's the size of a mango, you know? Well, what are the other topics? I mean, is it basically like, what's the size of your baby this week? Have sex now! Or what is this dichotomy here that's putting you off so much?
There's bathing during pregnancy. There's an article about SPD.
Bathing yourself?
Yes, bathing yourself. Like, has your morning beauty routine devolved into morning madness? Here's help on getting your act together, especially challenging these days, and facing the day looking mostly great. I don't care about looking mostly great, to be honest, right now. I think this might be more for first-time moms. Which...
Yeah, I don't know that you're 100% the right target audience for this newsletter.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I've been through this before. They have been posting articles about SPD pain, which is helpful. Although it's nothing new for me, but it's nice to know that other people, you know, it's not just me.
Have SPD pain? Here's the right way to have sex during pregnancy.
That's the article I could use.
That's true. There you go. Right into Heidi and ask her for that.
Yeah. There's 15 hipster baby names for your trendy newborn. Is my baby trendy? How do you know if your baby is trendy before your baby is born?
Oh, that is a good question. There's a fedora on his head in the ultrasound picture.
Yeah. He's like wearing a really like obscure band t-shirt.
He has a mustache with curled ends. I honestly don't even know if that's in anymore. I'm probably not out of touch.
Well, I mean, when's the last time we've gone out? It's been a while. All right. So just to have a couple more examples, or at least one more, let's see. In week 23, day 4, they wanted me to know about the best pregnancy safe sex toys, which, again, I think all this information is like good information and sex positive information to have out there. It's just like there is a little bit of relentlessness about it where I'm just like, I get the point. Come on.
Are there pregnancy unsafe sex toys? That's my question.
Well, you're going to have to read this article.
All right. Heidi knows best. Okay.
Heidi knows best. Yeah. I'm sure there are. Well, here, I'll click through. You want to know? Here.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you use sex toys? Blah, blah, blah. Yes. Okay, here we go. There are a few things to note before using sex toys during pregnancy. For example, this doctor they interviewed recommends not penetrating too deeply, especially if you're using a rigid sex toy, since the cervix can be sensitive during pregnancy and can bleed. And also, they tell you you shouldn't clean your sex toys, which is probably good advice.
Good advice all for the time. Anyone.
Yeah, so, and then, yeah, there's a big list. They have a very extensive list. So if that's something you're interested in, you should definitely go check it out. But it's just like, I don't know, it feels like a bit of a, like, it almost feels like nagging. Mm-hmm. Like, every other day I get this email and I'm like, I want to see what size my baby is. And it's just like, by the way, have you had sex this week? And I'm like,
Do you feel like it's setting some standard ideal, a reality that some people aren't living up to right now? And so it might just be setting up bad feelings in people?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it kind of feels like that to me. It's sort of like, you should be thinking about this all the time. It's like, don't you know, like, all the other shit I have to think about right now, you know? I feel like in general, our culture tends to do that, right? Like, women's magazines, all they do is talk about sex, and there's not a lot of room for sort of sex neutral discussion, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it definitely feels like pressure in a weird way. Like, bringing it up. So, I don't know. Like, if you're bringing it up all the time, it's like, oh, wait, should I be doing this? Same thing with, I have to say, they have a lot of articles they link to about weight gain during pregnancy, and those kind of piss me off too, because it's not a one-size-fits-all thing, and constantly bringing it up, like, right above the safe sex toys one, there's 8 things to know about weight gain during pregnancy. And, you know, it's, again, it's, like, fairly seemingly neutral information to have, right? But if you are a person who's had an eating disorder or have any kind of issues regarding your weight, that can be super triggering. And you get an article like that in your inbox all the time, and you're just like, it really reinforces this idea that everyone is sort of one size fits all. And I don't know, I find it troublesome. I guess I could just unsubscribe.
Well, I was going to suggest that, or just not look at them, especially every day. But I wonder if there's a resource out there that's a little more well-rounded. I don't want to say edgy, but just something that's got a little more realness to it. Because I do feel like they kind of candy coat things a little bit. And it'd be nice to have a more well-rounded email come into your inbox every day.
Well, I do get Emily Oster's newsletter these days, which is really great. She talks about a variety of topics, but a lot of times she talks about pregnancy. So that is helpful. But now this made me think we got to start a newsletter.
Oh my God, we should.
Just add it to all the other stuff we need to do with all of our free time.
Yeah, exactly. Done and done.
But anyway, that's it. I'm done complaining about being reminded that I should be having sex every day.
All right. Sounds good. Should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and we're going to wrap things up with our weekly Big Fat Positives or Big Fat Negatives. Laura, what do you got for us?
I have a Big Fat Positive.
All right.
So, okay, this might seem ironic considering I just, like, complained about all this, like, sex content in my inbox all the time. But my BFP this week is actually an Instagram account I found recently. I actually found it through our guest Jen McClellan of Plus Mommy, podcast and Plus Size Birth and all that stuff. She reposted them and I was like, whoa, this is so great. And they're called Sex Positive Families, and it's sex positive_families on Instagram. Okay. And basically, they're just a group that talks about basically sex education and consent and all this like great stuff for families. Mm-hmm. So it's run by this woman, Melissa Carnegie, who she wrote a book called Sex Positive Talks to Have with Kids. Mm-hmm. It's a great resource for just how to handle like questions that come up, how to handle things regarding consent with your kids that might be kind of iffy. One of the posts I just saw that really like made me say like, oh my gosh, yes, is that, you know, a lot of it's just quotes, you know, they put up little cards with quotes on it. Mm-hmm. And this one that they posted recently said, a screaming child on Santa's lap is not cute. It's unsafe. Mm. And they, in the description, they talk about how this time of year can present many challenges for families when it comes to understanding and respecting boundaries and consent, particularly for children who are often expected to look, behave, and interact in ways that are deemed acceptable by traditions that can quickly contradict even the most consent-conscious homes. So they said one example is forcing a child to sit on Santa's lap, you know, we've all seen those cute pictures, right? We think they're cute of the kid like screaming on Santa's lap. But, you know, when you really think about it, you're teaching a horrible lesson about consent in that situation.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, it's a good reminder that a child's body is theirs, even from that young age. And if they don't want to sit on a stranger's lap and take a picture, like, you should respect that. You should get them to trust their gut and not teach them that their instinct is wrong, right? Like, you want them to trust that instinct with other strangers. So you don't want to suppress that with, you know, a Santa picture. So that really resonated with me.
Yes. Easter Bunny. those things can be scary and overwhelming for a little one anyway. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of it sometimes feels like a bit of a betrayal on the part of the parent to just be like, aha, you're crying in the lap of this big old scary thing. And I'm just going to take a picture of you. And
hee-hee. Yeah. And you're, I mean, this year, I don't think it's going to be a big problem because of COVID. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of those things where if it was just a random old man on the street, you would, of course, if your child said, I don't want to sit on his lap, you would say, of course, you don't have to sit on that random man's lap, you know? Mm-hmm. But in this situation, our culture and everything pushes you towards forcing that, you know?
Mm-hmm. We also don't look at it from their perspective a mm-hmm. lot of times because we as adults understand the tradition and understand that, you know, Santa in general is a jolly thing. And to sure. them, they don't understand, especially like a two-year-old. They don't know what the meaning behind all that is. They just see this stranger and mm-hmm. yeah, it's just a different perspective.
And I don't think necessarily, like, if you're listening and you're like, but my kid cried and I still took a picture, like, I don't think you do it and it once and it ruins your child for life or anything, but it really is a good opportunity to reflect on consent and how you mm-hmm. teach your kids things and how you really like practice what you preach, right? Mm-hmm. So that was just one post. I was scrolling through their posts. It was very just super interesting and informative. And like, here's another one. Stop raising boys who think it's gross or weird when girls poop, fart, or menstruate. And mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, you know, that's something I can do in my house mm-hmm. with a boy. I mean, so, you know, that's something concrete I can do. I'd like to do with my boy. So mm-hmm. and then there's stuff for even older kids, like as you grow older, like how to respond to sex questions and all that stuff, or what to do if your kid catches you and your partner like in the act, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that it's a really great time for me to start following this stuff so that I can feel prepared. Because right now he's obviously not asking me any birds and bees questions, but
yeah,
it's nice to be ready for it. And I think that my parents did a really good job of like, I don't even remember having the sex talk because I always knew how it worked. Like, mm-hmm. it was just a thing in our house that, you know, it was a biological thing. They were doctors, so it was like not a big deal, right? Like, you just learn that, you know, you have sex and the sperm and the egg and all that stuff. But a lot has changed since the 80s, right? And it's not always about, you know, now we're talking about families that look different, same-sex families, transgender families, and it's not really so much the same talk of like, well, a penis goes in a vagina and then you have, you know, then you have a baby. It's much different and there's a lot more nuance. So I'm looking forward to sort of absorbing this stuff so I can be prepared once the questions start coming.
Yeah, I like that idea. It reminds me of a book that we've had for Elle for quite a while called My Body Belongs to Me. Mm-hmm. And it's so great. It's like this young girl is like, I have a body, it's really wonderful, and, you know, it feels good to, you know, be close to my friends and my family and people that I want to be close to. But if for any reason there's someone who I don't want to have touch me or who touches me and I don't like it, it's okay for me to say, stop, I don't mm-hmm. want you to touch me. And I mean, Elle is totally, of course, glommed on to that. She's like all about it. And we practice it. And she goes, stop, my body belongs to me. And, you know, just kind of getting those ideas in her head mm-hmm. early, I think, is good and empowering and important.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I do think that as a parent, it can be hard to practice because you want to hug your kids and stuff, you know, like, mm-hmm. and it's really good to start early practicing that so that you don't, so you can get used to the fact that their body belongs to them. Because, you know, I fall into the mindset of like, dude, I created you. Like, I get to give you a hug, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, and it's really hard to break free of that. But, you know, it takes practice. So
it does.
But yeah, so check out Sex Positive Families on Instagram and see if you like it too.
All right. I'll go follow them right now.
Cool, cool. So, Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Good, good.
I believe I've mentioned this before in passing, but it uh-huh. is the camera that we have now for Cece's room. It's called the Wyze camera, W-Y-Z-E.
Mm-hmm.
Before, we always just had, you know, kind of middle of the road, like little camera that the sound triggers the screen to come on and we can kind of just see a grainy picture of what she does. And that's always been just totally fine. But that bit the dust. And so Steve was like, oh, this camera looks cool. And it was like $25.
Wow.
And yes, it's so affordable. And we like just put it up on our wall. It gets a really good wide angle view of the whole room. And you can zoom in and things actually look clear. You can see what she's doing. And the really cool thing is that it records, you know, I don't know, is it an SD card? Let me see. Really, it records on an SD card. So you can go back and review footage for the last 3 days or whatever. And you can check in on an app online and see what's going on in there. You can review what happened like in the middle of the night when something crazy happened, like when she woke up screaming because that doll woke her up. I was able to go back and see what happened. And so what really makes me think about this product this week is Cece and I had just an awesome bedtime. Like, you know, it's hit or miss, really. Sometimes she's very snuggly and sometimes she's just not. And that's totally fine. But the other night, it was like a magical bedtime. Like, what she likes to do now after books is lie down on the rug and we look up at her stars and moon and the projector and whatever. And a lot of times she's just wiggly and playing. But the other night she just really wanted my attention and like really snuggled in and she lay on top of me. And it was just, it filled my heart with so much joy. And afterwards, after I left her room, I was like, oh my God, like I have footage of that. And I went back and watched it. And it was just so sweet. Just watching it just made me feel as happy as it did when I was in the moment. And so then I can record that and keep it as a little video on my phone.
So you can check online and like you can go back online and on the SD card or just on the SD card.
The SD card streams to the app.
Okay. So but on the app, like how far back can you go? Those same 3 days?
Well, the SD card fills up, I guess, and then just keeps re-recording over itself. So however many days it can hold on the card. You know, and then they start to just kind of fall off. So
got it.
If I don't
so you
go
sort
back,
of, you can sort of you access the SD card remotely via the app. I understand.
Yes.
Now. Yes. So it's like not in the cloud. It's just like accessing it. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I know like a lot of people who have fancier things are like, yeah, no crap, Shauna. Like that's what people do nowadays is get, you know, Wi-Fi cameras and record their stuff. But I think the thing I love most about it, it was like $25. It was so affordable.
Amazing.
I thought it was going to just not be a good product at all. And it's amazing. And I think it's just a great thing for parents to have. So I wanted to suggest it.
That is super cool. We have the Nest Cam, which is much more expensive than that. It has a lot of bells and whistles. You know, you can talk through it and you can like.
Oh, you can talk through this too, I think.
Well, shit.
Sorry. But the one bad thing is that it's running all the time, right? So it also captures Mama in some of her worst moments. Like, I was so flustered the other day at the end of the day and just like, you know, bath time was just chaos with the two girls. And I was just like, ah. And, you know, Alexa's like playing some music or something. And I'm just like, Alexa, stop. And she didn't hear me. And I'm like, Alexa, stop. And she didn't hear me. I'm like, ah, Alexa, stop. And then I was like, oh my God, the camera just totally caught that freak out. And I was so embarrassed. And like, I went back and watched it. And I was just like, oh my God, Sean, you got to calm down.
I guess that is one of the benefits of the Nest Cam is that it's on like a schedule. So we turn it on at like 6 p.m. and then turn it off at like 7 a.m. automatically
in
his room.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that way we don't catch the stuff we don't want to catch. And
yeah.
But I agree that like I also have like gone back and saved videos that are either just like super sweet, like of him snuggling before bedtime or like him being really funny before bedtime, like running around naked like a maniac and stuff. It's really fun to have that stuff.
Yeah.
We actually still have our regular monitor on him too, though, because I like having it running at night and being able to like hear it easily. So we have like a Eufy space cam going, which is it's not a Wi-Fi cam. It's just like in one of those old style local versions that doesn't save anything, but I found that a little bit more user-friendly, especially because my Wi-Fi isn't always great. Like, our Wi-Fi comes and goes. So, but yeah, I'm glad you got that because you've sent me some cute videos, too.
Have I? I don't remember.
Yeah, you sent me like screenshots of like how she's fallen asleep.
Oh, yes, yes. I probably also sent you the one where she was lying in bed just going, Enya! Enya! Because she loves Enya so much and listens to it now. Enya!
That's so funny.
Oh, anyway, I think that's our episode. Should we wrap it up?
Yep, I think we should.
Okay, listeners, if you have any opinions on making your baby's teeth into jewelry, we need to know. Please let us know. No judgment either way. We just want to hear from you. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. You could send us an email if you want to include a voice memo in that email. You could get bonus gold stars to contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, you should join our Facebook community. It's an amazing private group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community and request to join. Please, please, please answer the two membership questions we have to make sure you're not like a robot or spam, so we can get you through to those amazing conversations we're having in there every day.
Yes. If you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. That is so helpful. People looking for new podcasts check the reviews and they feel more confident in trying out our show when they hear the great things you have to say about us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate that. And spread the word. If you love our show, let your friends know about BFP. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.